All right, I'm going to keep this simple.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Stassi. I'm Stassi Schroeder-Clark.
Let's do this.
Y'all, let me just say, I want to get into this football talk. I have Kelly Stafford here, okay? Everyone knows Kelly Stafford, wife of Matthew Stafford, but she is just like such a force in her own right because you started your own podcast the morning after, which I think is so genius. Because as someone, Kelly, who doesn't care about football, like I don't care about sports. Like I've never been a sporty girl. I do, however, always wonder about how is life for their families, for their girlfriends, for their children after a game or the next day, because I know just as like being married to a like Rams diehard fan that like my night and the next day is dependent
on the game.
So I couldn't imagine what that would be like for you. So genius move.
Well, thank you. That's honestly why I called it the morning after. It did entail like morning after games, because it's always like the toughest time, especially our 12 years in Detroit. I feel like every morning was tough, but no. And then I was like, you know what? It can be anything. Cause I feel like the morning after also has a stigma of, you know, the typical morning after situation, but I love that I did it. It's turned into more than football, which I do love because as your husband probably knows, and I don't know if you know, but my husband's on the tail end of his career, so it's not going to be much longer. But no, I honestly love doing it. It's been something that's my own because as you said, you know, you become the significant other of somebody else and they're constantly in this limelight and you're always kind of in the shadows, which is totally fine, but you have to find your own, it'll get there. This is what I do with my podcast.
I know what you mean. I mean, look at Giselle. Not that I think you guys are going to break up. That's not what I meant by that.
I took it as look at Giselle, like top mom. Like, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take that.
Like that you guys are one and the same. You guys have to put aside some of the things that you want to do in order to support your significant other. And like, that's also like how relationships work. Normally in general, it always ebbs and flows and someone's having to be more supportive. The other person has to like, you know, and I just think that, and I think that starting a podcast and the name of it and just like talking about all of the things and humanizing you and your family and not just, oh, like the wife of a footballer, I just think is really brilliant. And it was very smart.
Well, I appreciate it. It was honestly just to have some fun. It started out like in our back house in a guest room and kind of turned into something that I love doing. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do feel like people look at anyone who is in the mix a little bit or known and say, oh, well, they probably have it like this or like that. And it's kind of nice to humanize it. I mean, I'm still a mom of four girls trying to figure that out every day, literally trying not to yell all the time, trying to make sure I'm dating my husband, keeping that, you know, keeping fire there. So we go through the same things as every other marriage, all other parents. So yeah, I think it was something to also just like get it out. I started it again, just to, I feel like with Instagram, social media, all these things that you put yourself right, like as a parent, as a wife, you're looking at all these things, you're like, I'm failing. When really none of that's real and you have to humanize it all and like make it, hey, this is what that's actually going on here. I had a terrible fucking day at being a mom. I made all my girls cry or something, you know, just like getting it out there, normalizing things that are actually normal. So again, I love doing it. I actually brought a co-host on. He's great. He's from Detroit. But it's been a whirlwind, but it's been fun.
Well, I love how you're just so honest about everything. Like when it comes to, like, you already just said it yourself, but dating your husband, postpartum life, how you felt about your body, issues with your children, you're super honest. And the fact that you just said also, like on Instagram, we always feel like we're failing. Like this has been the theme of like this past year for me where I've realized that like we can't have it all. We shouldn't want to have it all. We're going to have it all at different, we're going to have things at different times in our life. But why are we striving to just do the most all the time? Because social media is also a lie. Like, and we know this, it's a photo album, and you're not going to put up the ugly parts of your life on a photo album. You know what I mean?
No. Oh, yes. It's like a mental health journey. Once you get into that, either Instagram or TikTok, whatever you're on. I mean, I feel like you have to go into it just trying to remind yourself that what you're seeing really is
real.
It's
a fantasy.
It's crazy. Yeah. But it's so addicting. It's so wild.
I know.
You know that it's so bad for you, and you're still, and I'm still like on it, which drives me crazy. But it is what it is at this point. But I do, I mean, I hope by the time my girls are old enough to even know what social media is, it's gone. But I mean, I know that's not going to happen.
It won't be.
Girl, I feel like you're just going to like pop up in your mind, and that's going to be social media.
I know, seriously. Literally. So I want to talk, I have like all of these things that I want to talk to you about, the things that you have been honest about, like especially like postpartum stuff and things like that. But before I get into that stuff, can we just take a moment for the WAG Renaissance? The WAG revival that's going on because of Taylor Swift. The way that I want Taylor Swift to be on a reality show or become a podcaster, though, so that she can elevate me. She is elevating WAGs everywhere. They are now, y'all are our new supermodel. You're at now, y'all are everything that we want to be. Do you hate or love the word WAG?
I mean,
or do you
honestly
not care?
I'm indifferent to it. It's kind of whatever. I mean, that's what we are. We're wives and girlfriends of whoever.
Do you call yourselves that?
No.
No, you're never like, hey, fellow WAG.
No, absolutely not. No.
You don't have a group chat entitled WAGs?
No.
With all the other ones?
No, but I'm really old. So maybe the young girls do. I am very, I'm like,
aren't you
far the
one year
wife.
Younger than me? I'm older
but
than
in
you.
This, but
I'm too old to be a WAG.
Are you 30? What are you? 35?
I'm 35.
Okay, I'm 34. I'll be 35 in August. So we're the same.
Oh,
age.
I'm too old to be a WAG.
Girl, I'm one of the oldest. I think I'm probably the oldest WAG there is.
Okay.
It's really sad.
No, that is like really dark. No, I'm not joking, Kelly. Like that's dark. So
welcome to my life, being the old bitch in the room. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you feel Taylor Swift is 34?
Yeah. I love her. She's me. I mean, I wish I was her, but I can call her me, right? She's a 34-year-old WAG.
Yes.
We're basically the same.
You're basically the same person. You feel like she is, like from the outside, I'm seeing the WAG Renaissance. I'm seeing the WAG revival. Do you feel that?
No. But again,
what?
I'm old. I don't know.
No, you can't use that excuse anymore. You're Taylor Swift's age. No.
I know. But she's like young at heart and she's got boyfriend and it's all fun. They're going to the Super Bowl and it's all great. And I'm over here. I'm old. I got four kids. I got a new dog. Dumb. Shouldn't have done that. And I'm just trying to survive. So I think for the younger girls, it's amazing. I do think it's going to bring to light some things. Maybe, you know, if she does come out and say what goes into it, what he does, you know, all those things, it'll bring some light into that. But otherwise, I mean, now we got to keep up with Taylor Swift. Hell, we have Simone Biles on the sideline. I'm like, guys, can we get some old chicks?
No. See, I feel like, it's good for everyone's like group average. You know, you want to surround yourself with the coolest people. So it brings up the WAG group average.
They do bring it very far up, especially Taylor. I mean, like, come on.
You're also already up there. Okay. Let's be real.
You're very sweet. I'm just there. But
okay.
It counts.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the fact that you spent 12 years, in Detroit. Okay.
Yes.
So y'all met in college. Mm-hmm. Then he gets drafted to the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Then after 12 years, a little switcheroony. I want to know, did you guys mastermind a switch to the LA Rams so that you could have better weather and more things to do?
I mean, I wish I was that smart. No. And I wish it worked that
way. How does that happen? How does that even...
It was actually kind of crazy. Have you ever been to any of the Discovery Land properties?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like Gazer Ranch or any of those.
Oh, Eldorado. No, I think I've heard about like where you go and do work on yourself. Correct? Inner work. Inner work.
Know.
No. They're spas.
No.
Are we talking? No. No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. They're just like properties that there's certain properties all around the US, and then they have them in Mexico, and they're anyways, long story short, we were trying to go to one of their properties in the Bahamas because we were in Detroit. So we were closer to the Bahamas.
Oh, like a resort. And
yeah, it's like, yes, but it's like privately owned houses and like a, what is it called? Like almost like a country club.
So you can have, yes, you can have your privacy and not have to totally. Okay. I understand that.
Yes.
God, I'm a loser.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Listen, you don't know who you're talking to right now. But so the, anyway, supposed to go to the Bahamas. There was a hurricane or something that happened. So they're like, we can put you at Chileno Bay, which is in Mexico, Cabo. We were like, can we go to El Dorado, which is also in Cabo? But anyways, they're like, no, we only have Chileno open. Went to Chileno, ran into a few football players, which you won't know.
So I never scary. Just, we never run into football players because we're not really? Going to private bougie ass resorty things. That's why. Okay.
Well, after this conversation, I'll fill you in on all of it. But anyways, we ran into a bunch of people, including the head coach for the Rams. Actually, at the other location that we were supposed to go to was the head coach for San Fran, which was a possibility
close call
for us. Yeah, so it was kind of like if we went there, I think we probably would have ended up a 49er.
Wait.
But we.
So you're telling me, hold on, you're telling me that you just go on vacay and then all no, the, and like the butterfly effect, you could have gone to a different, you stayed a different place and just, what do you mean? Like you could have just ended up. How?
It's honestly, I think coaches, when they talk to Matthew, they see how kind of brilliant he is outside of his talent. And so immediately they're like, we want this guy, which is a lot of, listen, he's great. He has his flaws, but in that aspect, he's great. So that's kind of like, literally it kind of just went down like that. The Rams and the Lions started talking, worked out a deal. I mean, we were still in Cabo when we found out we were going to be a Ram. So he found out, gosh, I play as well, but no, when he found out.
So it happens that fast.
It happened in the span of a trip for us. It happened quickly for us. It does not happen that way all the time. It was kind of a surprise because they had just given Jared a big deal. We didn't even think the Rams were like, as we were going to Cabo, I told him, I was like, we got to get out. Away from football. That's literally, I was like, let's get out of the country so I can take your mind off it. To be in somewhere for 12 years and then to ask for a trade and not know where you're going.
Yeah.
It was really hard for him to ask for it too. He loved that city, but we just knew honestly for both parts, for them to get where they needed to be and for us to get where, or for him to get where he wanted to be, it just needed to happen.
Yeah.
So when he asked for, I was like, all right, let's get out of here. And then we run into 9,000 football players in Cabo. I'm like, well, this didn't work. And then the trade went down there. So it was, honestly, it was wild. But we went from cold to warm.
That's so, yeah, cold to warm. Do you ever like talk to other, wives or girlfriends of players and they're like, man, we just got drafted to this town and like, it's so fucking cold there. And like, couldn't even drafted to this place. That, I bet that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. And also like the trades when someone's like from LA to Minnesota, not saying, but it's just like weather wise.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that it's like there, it's a bad city. It's, but there is something to be said for being used to California weather or liking California weather over Minnesotian. Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
Yes.
Weather. Like it just like, let's call a spade. Why do people say that? I don't know, but it is what it is.
I totally agree with you because I feel like everyone, whenever I'm so pro about LA or weather, whatever, I feel like I get Detroit backlash and I'm like, okay, hold on. Like it's just different. And LA weather is great, especially with children. There's no putting on heavy coats to take them off right when you get to the car to put them back on. I mean, I did that with four little ones and wanted to rip my hair. I didn't want to leave the house because it was too hard. So then you're sitting inside and it was a nice different trade-off, I would say. So yes, now we're outside a bunch. We're happy here. We have great community. It's been, and obviously Matthew got what he wanted. And he's going to keep trying to get your husband another one. So Hopefully not for too long.
But tell him that he's upstairs. He's like, I was like, is there anything special that you want me to ask on your behalf? And he's like, no, it's okay. It's like, it's okay. And I'm like, you can tell me. Like, I know he's upstairs, giddy as fuck right now. You have no idea.
Well, tell him thank you. That makes me feel so special. It makes me feel like Taylor Swift.
Oh, I'm going to tell Bo that. Have you ever been friends with someone who, like, you guys got really close because you were, let's say, like, in Detroit for 12 years, mm-hmm. so, like, another wife or a girlfriend, and then they had to move, and you guys, like, had this, or their husband or boyfriend got traded, and then it was, like, heartbreak for you and your friendship?
Yeah, it's really rare for a player to stay as long as we did in one place. And so it was kind of like a little carousel of, like, they would come, they would leave.
So then, how do you ever? I wouldn't want to make any friends then. I'd be like, no, because you're just probably going to get traded.
Yeah, and it started to get that way, especially towards the end when I was like, I feel like I've done this a million times. I don't want to get too close to someone because they leave. But then again, it's like getting a dog versus not getting a dog because of the heartbreak at the end, but you still end up getting a dog for the time because it's, you know, so special.
All right. I never thought about it. Okay.
I mean, that's kind of how I told myself to look at it. You know, if I closed myself off to everyone in Detroit, including teammates wise and stuff like that, I would have had no one. So you kind of have to, and there are great people within the football world, especially significant others. I mean, I feel like we're all going through somewhat of the same thing. Just praying our guys don't get hurt and praying we stay in one spot, so we're not picking up and moving families and doing all this stuff. So you have that commonality to work a relationship, even though we're all from different backgrounds, we're all different. It's nice. But now I'm just really old. So people are like, I don't want to hang with the old bitch with four kids. I mean, I remember coming into the league saying that about other girls.
It's the kids part that ages us. Let's be real.
I know.
It's not our actual age. It's not the fact that I'm 35 and you're 34. It's the fact that we can't, because I would say that we could pass for our 20s, for 20s, somewhere in there. Okay. So it's not about our age or the number. That our lifestyles are different and we have different responsibilities that we cannot control anymore. So we're just not as cool and fun and hip. That's what it is. It's not the age.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I also feel like, I told Matthew the other day, I was like, I feel like I'm in my prime. I don't know why, but I was like, I feel good. Our kids are at like an age, I know you have two little ones. Yeah, our kids are now at an age where I'm like, they can kind of do everything on their own in a way. I mean, the little one, basically her older sisters will do like shower her and get her whatever. So it's kind of nice. I'm at this like stage in life where it's before they become mean, right?
My daughter's mean already, but you know.
No, how old's your daughter?
Three. She's mean. Three. To me. Mean to me.
Oh. She's daddy's girl.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm. Well, I have four of those. So that makes you feel better.
No. So I wanted to ask you, when does life get easy again? And so that's funny that you just said that you feel like you're in your prime, because I only have two, a daughter and a baby boy. And
they're Bo adorable, and I are now, by the way.
Thank you. Like, as much as I say Hartford's mean, it's more like a joke. She's not actually like fully, well, yeah, she is. No.
Yeah.
She bullies me 100%, but she's the best thing in the entire world. Like the most amazing fucking kid in the world. She just knows how to get to me, but I've been wondering, I feel like Bo and I are like ships, like just passing in the night, where it's like one of us is on the baby. The other one is on Hartford. And it's like, when do we get to be us again? And then I look at you and I'm like, you have four. Like how do you Well, first of all, how do you even, what car do you drive? Do you drive a bus? Like literally the way that I don't even know what car to drive with two kids. Like what car do you drive?
Well, remember I have two in boosters now, so they're fine, but I have an extended Escalade. So big.
Okay. Okay. Big. And that fits everyone. Yeah.
No. It fits everybody. But like
these are like real things that I think about that. I'm like, how do people with more than two kids get from A to Z? How do they get anywhere at all? Because the cars, okay, let's just say you have your car, your big Escalade that's long and feels like a bus. Mm-hmm. Where do you put all of their stuff? Because like, is the trunk that big?
Well, the trunk, yeah. And the extended, it's big.
So you really are driving a bus.
But I am driving a bus. I legit am driving a bus. I will say though, with the dog, now we have a dog.
And you bring your dog everywhere too?
Well, he's a pup. Well, we just did like a little family trip to Manhattan Beach. We had to put the dog in the car. And that was a disaster. Like, we looked at each other. Matthew was like, this. Matthew was good with two kids. He was like, listen, we have another one. We won't fit at a four top. Like, that's a five top table now. He's thinking of all these things.
Sorry. That's true. And so smart. And yeah.
Harder to get a reservation.
I mean, yes. Think, 100%.
I'm like, got it. And we didn't think we could have them naturally. So the third one kind of surprised us. So then I was like, well, we ain't fitting on a four top anyways. Might as well make it a six, you know? hoping for a boy that we didn't get. So now you're right. Now I drive a bus full of screaming children who are so great.
I have a non-negotiable when it comes to my kids' pajamas. And this was something I didn't know the first time around when I had Hartford. Like, I got pregnant and I just like bought all these PJs online, like didn't think about the fabric or anything like that. And then when she was born, I realized there is a huge difference between like regular pajamas and bamboo ones. Okay. Like moms know. Moms know. Okay. So because I realized that, I had become a huge fan of Caden Lane for a while now, because that is just like my non-negotiable. My kids are going to be in bamboo PJs. But what I think is like really fun also about Caden Lane is that they have all of these different prints. I mean, so many different prints. So if you want just like your standard colors, like you can get that too. But they also have like, I just got Messer these like this blue donuts print. And then I got Hartford and Messer these match for Easter, like matching chocolate bunnies. It's freaking adorable and so soft. And I love how they have the like roll down ankles so your baby can like grow with it, because, you know, obviously babies are growing out of things all the time, but they make it so where you can wear the pajamas longer than most other brands who make PJs. And you guys, I'm telling you, like the softness, the buttery softness of that bamboo, unparalleled. And now I just found out, I have to get this for Hartford, that they have color me pajamas, okay? So they have these markers that I guess like wash out. I need to try this because I'm just like, it's blowing my mind right now, that you can basically color your pajamas. That'll keep Hartford entertained for like a good hour. I'm getting that immediately. Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. So head to cadenlane.com/Stassi and use code Stassi for 20% off your order. Once again, that's cadenlane.com/Stassi for 20% off. And make sure you use my promo code Stassi so they know I sent you. You guys, even if you're not a mom or like you need gifts for people, like you cannot go wrong with giving the soft this PJs ever to children. It's just like, no mom is going to be like, no, I don't want that. It's always a yes. So go to Caden Lane. I have talked about Nutrafol for so long now. Okay. If you followed me on Instagram or you listen to this podcast, you know that like I started to go on a hair journey after my wedding and I stopped like bleaching it. I started taking care of it using products that I had heard are like really good. And with that came taking Nutrafol. And I have been doing that ever since. And now I am taking postpartum Nutrafol. So let me explain. I mean, did you know that 1 in 2 women have hair thinning? Like 1 in 2. And then if you get pregnant and have a baby, oh, the hair shedding that comes with that. Like, are you kidding me? It's actually the worst, okay? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. I have 10 times better hair right now than I ever did in my 20s. And I think that is because of Nutrafol. I was so diligent about it. I'm still so diligent about it. And people come up and compliment me on my hair all the time. And like, I used to be someone that had to wear extensions all the time. I don't anymore. And I thank Nutrafol for that. So if you found yourself in a similar position where you're like, my hair isn't as full as it used to be, then you should take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code straight up. So find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code straight up. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code straight up. Okay, you know, well, at least you just said just now, you're like, you feel like you're now getting to your prime. Like you're the older ones can help you with the younger ones. So how many years did that take? I'm asking for myself.
Yeah. I mean, my youngest is 3 and I will say she's still somewhat a lot to handle, but she's got like a serious attitude that I'm working on. You know, when you get to the 3rd, maybe the 2nd, I don't know, you get kind of lazy when it comes to parenting. Like with that one, if she wanted something and one of her little sisters had it and she's screaming, like, give it to her. I mean, I did not care. And now it's catching up to her. She is not nice. She's actually a bully, like you were saying about your daughter. So I'm having to reparent that one a little bit, which is kind of a struggle. But I told Matthew, I said, when she's 4, which is June, we'll be in a good place. But Matthew has to get a vasectomy because I can't do it.
I feel you, because then you're going to start having to take 2 Escalades out. I mean, really, the car situation is like my Roman Empire. I think about families and their cars all the time. Like, how the fuck is like the whole world just going and living their days with multiple children in like cars? I just don't get it.
To be honest, I don't like riding in separate cars. Whenever he's like, we'll take 2 cars, I'm like, no, I don't want to take 2 cars. I want to be able to talk to an adult instead of yell at my children. So I don't, we do have a Sprinter.
There you go, Kelly. You got a Sprinter. That's what I mean. That's the answer that I wanted to hear. Thank you. Because I've been sitting here wondering, and that's honestly the only possible reasonable answer.
Yeah. Now I've Sprinter. Only driven the Sprinter a handful of times because it's kind of terrifying. My mom's a bus driver, so I feel like I come by it honestly. But
wow.
Yeah, she's bored. You know, she was a school teacher for like 25 years or 30 years and was like, I'm out, but then got bored and went back. It's hard and it's also terrifying. And the fact that I can't get back to my kids is kind of a problem. So a lot of the times, like Matthew will drive or we'll have someone else drive and we'll be in the back with the kids. Which you also don't really want to be back there either. So it's kind of like, no, which way do you go?
I feel you. The struggle is real. So basically what you're saying is me and Beau aren't really going to like be like a full blown couple for like years and years and years.
Try to date each other. That's all I'll say. I mean, it's hard. You know, you're passing. You're literally just like making it work and making whatever the best scenarios for those kids to make either of them like, you know, be obviously healthy, all these things, and just to not cry, to get good rest. You're doing everything you can for them that you kind of forget about yourself and your significant other. And Matthew and I did that for a long time. I mean, we had a really tough start with the children. I got some health stuff that kind of gave us a little pause and reset in our marriage and in our family life. Not that it was like our marriages are like terrible, but we weren't like communicating. We weren't dating each other. We were just kind of like getting through it, surviving the days, if you will. And then you look back at it and you're like, what did we do for each other during that time? We didn't do anything. And
no, so I think this is a really important conversation to have because this is a universal conversation for parents everywhere. I feel like everyone can relate to this, making time for your significant other and not just like time, like special time, like you say, like dating your significant other. And I was reading about how you were really open about your postpartum experience and how there was like a really long stretch of time after you had kids where you were like, wouldn't even be naked in front of my husband. And the way that hit, because that has been me. Like, yeah. I'm over that hump now, but like the first couple months, maybe sometimes 3 months, like with Hartford, it took longer. I like to, when we were intimate, like I had to be wearing like a corset thing around my stomach because I felt so insecure. There were ways for me to like, I just couldn't be myself. And because I didn't feel comfortable with, I didn't recognize myself that it made me not the best partner. Cause I'm like, no, I can't be naked and vulnerable in front of you.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, and not having confidence when you're being intimate or when you're with your husband, they can tell, you know, and, totally. then it plays into the intimacy and all this stuff. And I just like you, I mean, your body's changed so much. And again, this is something that everyone tells you to embrace, but it's really hard.
Yes.
And I hate to sound shallow about it, that you look in the mirror and your body looks completely different than it has looked your entire life. And you're so, and unfortunately we live in a world where a lot of things are based on what outer appearance, and all of a sudden your outer appearance is not what it's been for the first 20 over 30 something years of your life.
Yeah. It's just not what you're used to. And it feels like it's overnight because like, at least when you were pregnant, you had your baby in you. So it's like, it's still hard, but you have that reason. But then once your baby's out, it's all of a sudden like, who is this person that I'm looking at in the mirror? And I will die on this hill, like, and say like, this is not shallow. And like, I just like cannot, I can't possibly agree with that. I know everyone, like the trolls will come out and say that. And they're like, all you guys focus on is like your weight and what you look like after birth. Like, you know, your body just did an amazing thing. Yeah, my body just did an amazing thing. But like, this is something that every single fucking mom has thought about and worried about. And like, even the ones that are typing saying that we're too shallow, they themselves had the same insecurities and thought about it just as much as we were. Because you just don't recognize yourself.
No, and there's no way you look in a mirror and every time when you see all this stuff going on, and it's boobs, stomach, everything, right? It's just everything going on. There's no way that you don't look at yourself at least one time and go, wow, I got to figure this. This is a lot. Like, this is not what I expected. Everyone's thought it. You might not have acted on it, but everyone's had that thought. And it is a hard thought. And not only that, we have social media playing into the women that bounce back in a month with a fucking six pack. I'm like, great. I mean, that makes me feel better. Awesome. I also know that my husband is seeing women bounce back. I mean, it's all over the place, right? You see it on billboards, you see it on TV, you see it everywhere. These women that have babies and are immediately a size zero. And you're like, well, is my husband expecting that?
Yeah. Is he thinking exactly? Because he's being not like, he can't help it. He is being served that content as well. We are all being served the same shit that, wow, look at these women who look a week later like they were never pregnant. So when the men, the fathers are seeing this, like how could they not be a little influenced to think that like, oh, it just must be like this for everyone. So therefore it'll be like this for my partner also.
I mean, I feel like I was influenced by, like, I had twins and really thought like, oh, I'll bounce back. Yeah. And 8 months later, I'm looking at, I'm like, the hell? And then another one's in there and I'm like, oh, great. And then I'm like, my body is just completely different than it was. Yeah. And I know that's what happens, but we also have to give each other space to like,
feel our feelings.
Yes. Like, let us feel like, that without being like, You shouldn't feel this way. Yeah. I can't help how I feel. That's how I feel. So you can tell me I should feel differently, but it's not how I feel.
Yeah. So, like, you know what? I want to be allowed to be really depressed by the fact that it looks like I had my belly button pierced before, but I haven't. It's just saggy. Like, I should have just gotten my belly button pierced back in the day. So I sat there being like, I'm not going to do this because then I'm going to have like a hole forever. And like, nope, didn't matter. All I had to do was get pregnant. That's it.
Yeah. Girl, same. I didn't get my belly button pierced. Well, my mom would have killed me. But I also, she told me, she's like, you get a piercing, you get pregnant, you're on this. Blah, blah, blah. So I didn't do it. And now you can't even see my belly button. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. All this extra skin hanging over it. I'm like, great. Cheers. Thanks, mom.
Yeah, seriously. What do you feel like? I mean, I know this is like it's a broad question, but like, what do you feel like is one of the main like secret sauces to your marriage? Like what is some advice that you would give your daughters if you know, they, when they get to the age where they start looking for their partner and you're like, this is really what has kept us engaged with each other, kept us like feeling close to each other, that sort of thing.
I mean, I would say when they're trying to find a partner, I mean, I think their dad is a very good example of someone to, for example, for their future. He has his flaws, but he's a very good father. He's a very good husband. And I would say one of the main things I feel like Matthew and I do well, we do a lot of things not well, is we are always openly talking to each other. I mean, we both make mistakes left and right when it comes to about anything and everything, but we're always open to talk to each other about it and just listen. Because I feel like sometimes, especially like I messed up, and I'm sure your husband knows about it. Beginning of the season, I said something that came off really wrong on my podcast.
Was it about him relating to the players?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So I got crushed on that. Obviously, I didn't mean anything.
It's like not even that big of a fucking deal. Everyone needs to calm down. I think that's like really normal to say like someone of a certain age isn't connecting as much to people that are a decade younger. That is like, that's just like human nature. So like, well, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Well, thank you. Well, now it's like Gen Z, which is a totally different generation. It's just crazy. But anyways, at the end of the day, like he's hearing from media, coaches, all these people. And I'm sitting there going, fuck, 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 because it's not what I meant. And the first thing he did, he came home. He was like, hey, let's just go talk about it. He brought me into this office. We sat down. I continuously apologized. And he was like, I know you meant nothing by it. He's like, but we just need to like, let's talk about it. Like, what did you mean? What did you think? Just like, again, keeping those communication lines open. So I don't feel like I'm alienated when I mess up from him. And the same with him as well.
That's really important.
This is like your partner. This is the person who should always have your back no matter what, because those are the people that know you the best. So like if he would have been like, I need a day, even if he was like, I need a day, I would have felt like I wouldn't have known where to go. Because that's,
I used to have a boyfriend that was like that, that would punish me with silence, and it would go on days and days and days. And I think that that's so like that little piece of advice that you just gave is so important, because if anyone finds themselves in a relationship where you are being punished by being isolated and silence, and that person doesn't talk to you for days, so you have to live in a house of like true discomfort for days upon days. Like that's just like not the life. That's not healthy. That like causes illnesses.
I was going to say, it's like emotionally abusive to do stuff like that. Like I, and again, that's what I would say to my girls. Just so, find someone who you can always talk to, who you're never scared to tell your, you know, biggest problems to, or the things you've done wrong to, because that's the person that is going to have your back and they'll be able to tell you theirs too. So you'll always be connected that way. So that's, that would be like my main thing for them, because in this world too, where shit can be taken out of context all the time, like, right?
Do so you have
to be able to communicate.
Do you ever get scared when you're doing your podcast that you're like, fuck, I'm going to say something that like, I, that's been a fear of mine, my whole, like a really long time. I, we have that in common.
Girl,
where we say stupid shit.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And like you even edit and you're still just like, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, no, that'll be fine. Like it'll be fine. No one will care. And like that means nothing. Yeah.
And then other people listen. They're like, yeah, that's good. No one catches it. And then it comes out and all of a sudden it's everywhere. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
What did I say?
No, sometimes it literally makes me just be like, maybe I should just stop podcasting. Like, maybe I should just stop. Like, can I, the way that things get blown out of proportion or taken the wrong way or like it's a lot. And well, I feel
you
like
can't
you
stop.
Have.
You're too good. You're too
Thank
good at
you.
It. Can't stop.
But I feel like you're kind of new to this. So like what if you said you started the podcast like 3 years ago, like that is, it's relatively new. Meaning like, cause I've done this now for like 9 years. Like how'd you get tough? Like how'd you toughen up so fast?
Detroit.
Oh, that makes sense actually. No, like it really does.
To be honest, I made some stupid comments there too. And I learned very quickly. Well, first of all, I just learned a lot in Detroit, but I just learned to choose my words better. Now, I still fuck up all the time, as I'm
most
sure
most of
are
us
aware.
Do. Most but of
like,
us do.
But half the shit, I mean, I feel like we're so polarizing as a society that whatever you say is going to get taken out and just put on one side and then the other side's going to freak out. I mean,
I agree. I don't
know, like, half the shit I say, I'm like, wait, really?
And if you start censoring yourself, then you lose what makes you special to begin with. You know, like what I don't want to listen to, I don't want to follow, I don't want to hear people who have like overthought everything that's going to come out of their mouth. Like I want to relate to some real shit. Yeah. And like, that's what you do.
Well, I mean, I totally agree too. Like if someone's trying to please every person and you can tell, it gets exhausting. Yeah. And like, I feel like I tried to do that. So in Michigan, I tried to please everyone and I lost sight of who I was. I'm like, wait, what do I stand for again? I don't even remember. So I think there's something to it. And again, Matthew and I always talk about it, is like, there's ways to say things. I talked to somebody who says masculine and feminine language, which is crazy. There is a different type of language. Masculine, you're saying a lot of buts. Well, this, but, and then you get that dagger, you know? And feminine is you use and a lot. So, well, I support this and so it's more feminine. It's like a more, I don't know, not as polarizing way to say things.
So we should start saying and more, less buts.
Less. Well, now if you really want to just drive the point home, I would use but.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of just, you know, on that line, I would use and. I don't know. That's what I was told by someone and it kind of makes sense.
That's like relearning a new language all over again. Like, I love that idea, love that philosophy, the like feminine and masculine, but there's no way I will be able to actually adopt that. It's like when people are like, you say like too much. I'm aware. There's nothing I can do about it. If I think about it, then I won't be being myself. I won't be able to get the normal thoughts I have out properly. So I have to just say like a lot.
I totally agree. And we're probably going to get crushed for calling it masculine and feminine language, but that's what someone was told. That's how it was described to me.
You guys, we're just repeating what we've heard. Okay. Don't come please for us.
Please don't.
Let's talk about Thrive Market, because now that I have to take care of other things that like aren't just me, I have to really take into consideration the food that we have in our house. And whenever I go to the grocery store, not that many options when you really think about it. Okay. And that's why I love Thrive Market, because I can do all of my grocery and household shopping just from the convenience of my own home on my computer online. And it's quickly shipped to my doorstep. And it's just such a huge time saver. I just feel like, you know, I pay attention to ingredients now and I only want like foods that are of the highest quality. But when I go to the grocery store, yes, it's time consuming and it's just like a pain in the butt. But like when I go there, it's like, I don't want to be that person that's like standing in the aisle, like looking at the back of, you know, everything, trying to figure out the whole ingredients thing. That is time consuming and annoying if someone's trying to get past me to get something. But with Thrive Market, you can actually use their on-site filters. This is my favorite part of the website. Okay. So you just, the ingredients that you want to have or a certain type of food, you literally put on the filters and then it will only show you the type of things that you're looking for. So whether you're looking for organic kid snacks or low sugar alternatives or, you know, gluten-free pantry essentials, you can literally curate your own shopping experience to see the things that are only the things that you want to see, basically. Did that make sense? It made sense to me. Okay. And you can join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/straightup for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/straightup, thrivemarket.com/straightup. You guys, the way that Hiya vitamins have now become a problem in our house because Hartford asks for them all day long, and I have to explain to her that, like, you can't have vitamines all day long. That's what she calls them because that's what Beau calls them in Italian, vitamine. So she, like, runs around the house being like, another vitamine, yellow, red. She's obsessed. Before we actually got her on vitamins, I'm like, I remember just being like, what vitamins do I give my child? She's of the age where she should be taking them. But I feel like every vitamin out there, it's basically just like candy in disguise. It's just like sugar and like gummy junk. And like, is that actually good for my kid? And then I discovered Hiya, which is a pediatrician approved, super powered, chewable vitamin. And I looked into it and I'm like, oh, this is everything that I need. I mean, formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, so many other things. And so it helps with everything that you need: immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, all of it. So you can feel good about giving this to your kids. I also like how when you sign up for Hiya, you get this like eco-friendly bottle in the beginning, and then they send you refills every single month. And it's like a cute, chic bottle. Like there's a yellow one and we have like a turquoise one, and Hartford knows it. Trust, because she asks for it all day long. So you know that it tastes good because my kid's addicted. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. So to claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/Stassi. This deal is not available on their regular website. So go to HiyaHealth.com/Stassi and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
And I love how you said learning a new language, because right now I'm learning new math for my first graders. You'll hit this.
So impressed by you. Wait, I've already voted no on that. Like that is one part of parenting that I will not be doing. I will be hiring a teacher. I already was bad at math growing up. Why would I torture? I'll get a tutor.
I totally agree. But this is like adding and subtracting. And they are teaching them differently. So I am sitting there, and I'm not kidding, girl. Matthew and I were for an hour with our twins. What was it, last week? Doing fucking math homework. They're crying. We're like, I think sweating because we're so confused on how you don't know this. We're like, that's not how you teach it. It's so wildly different. It's so frustrating. So yes, girl, tutor, because it ain't worth the stress that it brings. I'm not kidding.
Wait, can I ask you something about this? Okay. Do you ever think about the fact that like school's actually really hard, and it's kind of sad that our kids are like having to like march into their classroom and be like handed a test. And then it's like they're starting to sweat because they want to do a good job. And then they like turn it in, and then a teacher's going to grade it and write on it. And then they're going to get it back. Like I think about this a lot, and my daughter's not even in like the test situation yet, but I'm like, it's actually hard to be a kid in school, and I can't believe kids everywhere are doing it.
I mean, but we all did it.
But it's hard. Like they're going to have to write an essay. Like they're going to have to read a book, then go in and like not know what the prompt is. Okay.
No,
they're not going to know. They're just going to have to read the book. And then all of a sudden it's going to be like in Pride and Prejudice, what was the theme that like Mr. Darcy, da, 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 da. And they're going to have to write a full blown essay on the spot. Like, I want that for them. It's sad.
Now that you say it like that, it is kind of sad, but I will say, I mean, something to fill their time, one, but two, I told Matthew, I was like, I mean, am I a really bad mom if like one of the twins is really good at math and one of them's really good at English? If I just, I'm like, hey, test day, you take 2 English, you take 2 math, because in the end, they're not going to be mathematician if they can't do math. So like, why are we hounding it down her throat with a calculator? And we have calculators now and computers. So why do we even care? Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree. It reminds me of that scene in Clueless, which I fully wholeheartedly, I know it was supposed to be comedy, but I took this, I actually saw this scene and I'm like, makes sense. When Cher goes to her dad and shows him the good grade, and she's like, well, I argued my way. And he's like, I wouldn't be prouder if they were based off real grades. I'm like, yeah, you found a way to make it happen. Not all of us are going to have to be good at math, but like how genius to trick the system. That means you're going to be good at something else, something better about tricking a system. So like, good on you for being creative.
Yeah. So you're going to go further than all the people that are making straight A's. I can tell you that much.
So have your twins switch spots. What do they think about it? Have you brought it up to them?
Well, neither of them are good at either yet. So we're going to have to figure it out. I love them to death. We'll get there. We're just not quite there yet. We got
one day they'll be able to cheat and lie and steal. Just not today.
One day we will know what 4 + 4 is, but just not today. I mean, it's crazy, but you know, it's either here or there. But
well, speaking of your children, I was just reading about how you guys got booed, mm-hmm. which like I have a lot of thoughts on this because I watched the Beckham documentary and like really felt some things. And I know that like,
such a good documentary.
Right.
Holy shit.
It just, I know it's not football, but it's just like the relationship between fans of a sport and the sports play, the athlete and, mm-hmm. and how they treat their families, their children, their wives, like all of that. It just, it's so insane to me that when I heard that you're like, you walk out there, I understand like maybe actually, no, I don't understand you getting booed. Like you're not the player. Like you shouldn't get booed. But the fact that your children had to walk out with you, all four of your girls and your children got booed. Like, does that happen on a regular basis? Or was this like a special instance?
I mean, I think it was a special instance just because of the fact that Detroit's never hasn't been in that position in a long time, for one. Two, we were coming back.
But that's also your home. That's like kind of your home, too. Like to be booed by your people.
Yeah. And I say nothing because it's true. I say nothing but great things about that place because that place is awesome. The people are awesome. For Matthew, I didn't expect a standing. I didn't expect any of that. I expected him to get booed, which he did when he ran out with the quarterbacks. Everyone was like, oh, no, we booed the team. I was like, my husband ran out solo for warmups. And that was probably the loudest boo we heard all game. Which is fine. This is a competitive nature. It's a sport. But when I walked out with my girls, I think they were all booing me, which it's hard to explain to your 6 and under children
that you're being booed.
Yeah, it's okay, girls. They're booing mommy. Don't worry about it. And they're like, wait, what? But why? And it was like heckled, kind of just like pointing and things like that. And listen, it doesn't take away from all the fans that are great there, but those fans are usually louder. The ones that are booing and playing.
The
and
mean ones are always, the game. That's how it is like in anything. Yeah.
Yes. But like, to be honest, I had two of them crying because my 3-year-old was terrified. She's kind of fearful to begin with. And then everyone was like, well, why would you bring your kids down on that field? First of all,
to see their dad play. What do you mean?
It's very normal. And we don't do it much because I don't really love the sidelines because there's a lot of politics and there's just like a lot of things going on the sidelines. And I'm not usually the person that likes to be down there, but we're coming back. I said, we're coming back home. I mean, Detroit was our home and wanted to see Martha Ford. And so we knew like we connected before to say we'd meet on the field. And so we got to see her and that was great. But I don't know if it made up for what my girls kind of endured down there. I mean, I had to explain certain words to them or explain around them.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And so, and they've heard a lot of words because I'm not saying Matthew and I are very friendly with our words. I mean, they know they're adult words and they cannot use them, but there were certain words thrown our way that they had never heard before. And my 5-year-old is very, very curious. And so she asks a lot of questions, but, I was a little surprised of, I guess, the situation. But you know what, at the end of the day, you just got to move forward. And I told myself too, and Matthew, again, we sat down, we had a conversation because he came over to take a picture and say hello with us. And he got pissed because everyone was booing that. And he was like, I can't believe they're booing our family. And I was like, whoa, you don't know the ins and outs of it right now, but we're not going to even go there. And so I don't know. We had an open conversation and we had to remind ourselves like, yes, that was home for 12 years. And I feel like for me, that game gave me really good closure because I held on to that place. And I will always love that place and cherish the memories I made there. But I was holding on to it in the probably unhealthy way, which wasn't allowing me to really live here. Like open my heart to this place. Yeah. So you know what? In the end, it was actually a really good thing that happened.
They did you a favor.
It did. It gave me closure there. And not that, again, I'm going to love it. I will always cherish that place and I will go back, probably never go back for a game, but we have a school center there and things like that. So we'll go back there and see it. But at the end of the day, it was a good thing for me. So not my girls, but for me, it was great. Yeah.
Do people treat you that way? Like, does that happen when you're just out and about? Are people awful to your face ever?
No, they're not. Now, there has been to Matthew, but never to me.
Okay, that's really good news, because I would think that if you are being booed by your old hometown, like you're not your hometown, like where you grew up, but like you 12 years is like another hometown. Like, yeah. I would think that like then that was happening on the street, and that would just, that's just dark.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I honestly, no one knows who I am besides if I'm on the sidelines. So I fly under the radar there, but, in Detroit in general, like before the game, everyone was very kind. And again, I think it was just those fans are always louder. And so you hear those, and I felt like every fan who was saying thank you and thank you to your family or thank you to Matthew, I would look up and make sure I try and find those people who are being so kind.
Yeah.
But everyone was great. Honestly, that weekend was great. It was just before the game. Mm-hmm. Walking around, and we ended up on the wrong damn side. So we had to walk all the way around on the grass in front of the fans.
That was like Marie Antoinette being like paraded to the guillotine or something. Like you had to like, wow.
It felt like, ooh. I had to put a letter on. I was like,
yeah,
no.
And you had to do a walk. That's rough. I'm really sorry that you had to do that.
No, it was, you know, it's fine. Again, and at the end of the day, it did. It gave me some closure to something that I needed closure to. Because it happens so fast.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you feel like LA is you guys are going to stay in LA? Do you love LA? You can lie if you don't like it. I don't own LA, so.
It's okay. You know what? I had my thoughts before coming here, as everyone does about every state in general. And I feel our city, and was so pleasantly surprised. We love it here. I mean, the weather is great, but we have found an amazing community of people that we adore and have become some of our best friends. And that are like very much like us, young kids. They're also younger. Actually, a bunch of them used to either play or played something or owned. I don't know. It's just, it's a good community. And I don't see us leaving. So I think we'll be here.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. That has
to be a good feeling, because like the unknown, I feel like is worse than even being stuck in a place that you might not like. It's the unknown of not knowing where your family's going to end up. So to have that, to be sure of that, that's great.
Yes. It's honestly, it's a really grounding feeling to know that, and to know my kids will be growing up here, going to high school here. So yeah, it's really nice. Cause even when we were in Detroit, we didn't know, you know, if we were going to stay there, or cause our kids started to go to school there.
Yeah.
Or if we'd move back to Atlanta, cause that was always kind of the plan. Cause that's where I'm from. And that's where we met. But we love it here. So we'll be here.
That's so great. Bo and I are going to start hatching our plan so that our 3-year-olds can be friends. We're going to start manipulating the situation. We're going to show up places that you're at.
Girl, y'all just bring her to a game, because I bring all mine. She can just hang out with mine.
We haven't done that yet.
No. Yeah, you need to.
Well, I feel like now she's at the age now, maybe like where we... Well, next season, like we would be able to, but like before, she just like is restless. I'd be running around after her. It wouldn't have been fun for me.
It's not worth it. I mean, Tyler didn't come Matthew's entire first year here, and she was closer to the 2 end. Girl, yeah. It's not worth it. I brought her first ever football game, Super Bowl.
Wow, what a bougie experience.
It goes downhill from here.
Yeah, I know. You're like setting her up for failure with that. Like, did you think that went through at all? Or you're just like YOLO?
I mean, I was like, you know what? Matthew might only get here once. We got to take the whole family, which was really a lot.
Really good point, though. Before I let you go, I really do want to ask you about the morning after. And like, I want to know what it's like in your house when you win and when you lose. Like what, like does, like do the kids know? Like, so, like, oh, we can't go talk to dad for a couple days.
Well, no, I will say before kids, it was Matthew would like put himself in his room right when we got home. Honestly, he would be hard to talk to for a few days. That was also really tough in our marriage. So I was like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think more wags need to talk about that, because like, I imagine like it's really difficult, and I understand both sides, the athlete and the significant other. Like I get it.
Yes. And what people don't also understand is like, usually you're moving for your significant other to whatever team he's playing for. So if he has a bad game or if they lose or whatever, and they just put themselves in the room and don't want to talk to anyone or you, you're very lonely. And you're like,
yeah,
well, what am I going to do today? Now though, with the girls, it's actually very comical, which is sad to say, but when he loses and if he loses, if the girls are there, they obviously know, but if they're watching on TV, I'm like, oh yeah, we lost. And he'll come home or he'll come up to the suite after the game and they'll be like, daddy, maybe you should have tried harder. And he's like, thanks ladies. And he'll look at me and be like, I mean, maybe you should practice longer. Which savage. Like you just, I savage. Mean, you just realized right then and there, you're like, you know what? This isn't the end of the world. This is a small part of my life. These girls are like, he gets over it very quickly now. Like he's up in the suite, we lose. And he's like, the girls come to him and that's it.
Well, you know? It's easy to get over when you've won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true too.
Right?
Could you imagine? We talked like about it too. I'm like, could you imagine if we came here that first year and did not win it? And
yeah,
like,
that'd be depressing. And then like every time you lose, then and your kid looks at you and is like, you should have tried harder. I'd be like, yeah, wow. Okay. I'm just going to throw myself off my house right now. Like,
I mean, it is, but when we win, it is a big difference in, and I feel like I can speak on a lot of professional athletes, significant others in this way of like, when you win that week, is so much better.
Yeah.
It's just like things are happier. It's not this looming because you have to wait. Now in baseball and stuff like that, the games are so quick, but in football, you have to wait a whole nother week until the next one and you lose that.
Really? Because it feels like football's on every single fucking night. Really does. Like it was even on Christmas this year. Like what? I was literally at Christmas brunch and Bo's watching football. Like when did that happen?
I love you. Cause me, I'm like so happy that football's on every night. Now that we're down at the end of the season, I'm like, what am I going to watch? Nothing to watch. But no, yeah, it is on every fucking night, but it's usually 7 days apart. For your games.
Okay. I guess technically, yeah, the game, the team, it's 7 days apart for like each team.
Each team, yeah. So like Matt, if they lose one, Matthew's got 7 more days. Now if they lose another one, it's like, ooh, 7 more days. Girl, I think we were like 3-6 this year going into our bye week, which so, talk about a shitty bye. You're supposed to have a
you're
good
speaking
bye,
another
which,
language.
Yeah. Okay. So bye week is the off week. Every team gets one off week. And
when
I swear,
was that? That oh, was you mean every team. So it's not just like team. One. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, so each team, like a couple teams are designated a certain off week. So we were 3-6 going by. We'd won 3 games. We had lost 6. Bye weeks, when there's a bunch of losing in front of it, they're the worst. It's supposed to be like the week to get away.
Yeah.
Separate yourself. Ooh, girl, this one was depressing. I was like, ooh, man. And we've had them before, but you know. This
like, what
one,
do you guys, do you just sulk around the house? Like, depends. Cancel plans? You yeah. know, like.
If he's winning, we usually have a great bye week. I don't know. Well, we might shoot down to Cabo for 3 days. We're losing. We hoard ourselves in the house. We're just like,
see, I mean,
I'm stepping on needles, trying not to mess up. I'm like, you good?
Yeah. I would just think that like, if you were losing and you have bye week, thank you for teaching me something. I've never. Okay. I feel so knowledgeable. I feel so sporty right now. I would
I
just think that like,
for Bo.
Yeah. The only way to like make yourself feel better would be to like go drown your sorrows in Mexico. So like, I would say like go to Mexico either way.
I know. But sometimes like, when they're like down, they're like, don't have the energy to even go. So then I'm like, great. So we're stuck in this house, which I'm always stuck in this house with the children.
Yeah.
So now we're just both stuck in the house.
Yeah. I feel you.
You know.
Also, do you ever look at fans and say, you guys, this isn't fucking personal. Do you know how many times I have to tell Bo this? When I hear Bo yelling at the screen, I can't believe you just did blah, 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 or whatever. I'm like, this man did not fumble the ball. I can't believe I even just said that. To hurt your feelings. This is not about you. This isn't about you.
I know. It's tough for me to say because I don't want all these fans coming out to me, but I feel like professional athletes, they all are kind of the same. They are playing for the people on that field. They want to win the city one, or they want to win all these fans one, but during that game, they don't care about anyone else but the people on that field.
I feel like that's the only way to like properly do your job and play your sport is to like not care about that sort of thing.
Well, you have to, because you hear certain, but also another thing is, it's funny because people are always like, why did you throw that pick? Why would you throw that? And Matthew's going, guys, I'm fucking pissed I threw it too. I think I'm madder than you are that I threw it.
Yes. I say this to Bo too. This is two parts. One, when he's like, why did he choose to do this? Like, why don't, like Bo knows better. Like, he knows fucking better. Okay. So like, there's like that part of it. Like, okay, I'm pretty sure this athlete just made the best decision he possibly could, given the fact that he's the expert here. Okay. Not us. So there's that part. But then the second part is, the way that you feel right now, Bo, he 100% feels a million times more strongly about it. Okay. So like, we're all in this together.
And also, even on top of that, is Bo's one out of however many fans are thinking that. And you know, all these guys know that. So they're like so down on themselves. And they just have all the fans on. I'm like, ooh. But you know what? This is what I kind of remind my husband and remind, that's kind of what you get paid for.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you're getting paid to play a game that you love. You have to deal with what comes with it, because that's really what you're getting paid for at the end of the day. Cause those people are paying to get there. So those are the people that are paying you. So you just kind of got to fucking rough it out and deal with it. Matthew does a really good job. I fucking suck at it. He can bury everything and not even worry about
it. It's always the significant others on the behalf of the other one. It's even like that with me and Bo. Bo has more feelings for situations that I'm in, where I'm like, I can handle it, but he gets upset on my behalf. You know, I think that's just like a relationship thing.
When I feel like you love, you want to fight the battles for the people you love, especially when you see them not fight, like that they can't fight them, you know, that they're not allowed to fight them. So
they're not allowed to fight specifically. Yes.
Yes.
For sure.
And it's tough to stay silent in this scenario, because that's literally your person. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I'm very kind of known for probably going after people, and that's not good. I've tried to stop, but it's hard.
I like it. You're spicy and you are just defending your person. I know. I like it. Kelly, this was so much fun. I could literally do this for like freaking 2 more hours. Like,
I totally agree, girl.
Thank you so much for coming on the pod. We need to get more Rams fans. The Rams have like the least amount of fans ever, I've realized. I feel like it's Bo.
That's why I said our one loyal fan. No, I agree with you. I think the team moving back and forth made it hard. If they're going to stay here for a long time, they're going to get these fans. I mean, years to come, they're going to have more and more and more. So as long as they can continue to stay good, they'll be the fans that are loyal and LA Rams fans. But it's tough when an organization moves so much.
It'll be the next generation. It'll be it'll be our children. Like that, that's going to be the Rams fans. I can't believe I'm talking about football so much. Like it's actually like kind of wild.
Part of me hates that you said the next generation is our kids going to be Rams fans. I'm like, God bless it. We're old. Also, I promise I'm done after this, but at Rams games, when you come, they do a throwback of the decades or something. And it's always our decade. And I'm like, we're the throwbacks. Like we are the legit old people at the stadium.
Oh, wow.
Remember when you used to go to sporting events, it would be like, I don't know, the Temptations. And that was the throwback.
The song. Yeah.
Now it's like Usher and like our.
They're like,
no, this?
That's not a throw. That's crazy.
Throwback. So when you guys come to a game, and you'll bring, it'll be fun. Bring your daughter. We'll all do the suite together. It's easier. They can all run around up there, but, you'll hear the throwbacks and immediately just be depressed.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, at least we'll be in it together.
And we're in our prime.
30. Yeah. We're in our prime. You're in it. I'm not there yet. I'm not there. Once Messer turns like maybe like 1.5, I feel like I'll start feeling like I'm cool again. Like I can do some things. Right now, I'm not. No.
I feel like you are.
I just don't feel like it.
I feel like you are.
I'd like to go and have some fun.
Yes. You know what? Your feelings are your feelings, and I can't make you feel
Thank you for validating so. That. Thank you for yes. validating my feelings. Yes, Kelly, this was so much fun. Y'all go listen to her podcast, The Morning After. Go follow her on Instagram. It's KB Stafford 87.
89. Yeah.
89. Oh, yeah. 89. Because again, you're 1 year younger than me. So there's that. Yes. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to go upstairs and just give Bo a big hug. He's just like, I know, just like waiting for me to tell him all the things. And I hope I get to hang out with you.
I would love that. And tell him I say hello. And yeah, we'll do a Rams game this coming year. It'll be fun.
I would love that.
All right, girl. Bye, guys. I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye.
Thanks.